with our family members. So we're going to talk for a little bit. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's good to talk for a little bit, right? Get it all out there. It's good to be in community. And so, as some, if not most of you know, that my cousin had passed away last week and a half ago. And I guess I want to use the correct word, and I use the word murdered. That's the correct word we'll use. Of course, it's been difficult, right? It's not an easy thing, and I'm working through the process, you know, being angry and being mad. You ever been angry or mad since you've been saved? So I was going through that process of angry and being mad and trying to, And so the police were searching for the responsible party. And then they found the responsible party. And then I forgot what day it was and got the news they had found the individual. And so probably for about maybe, 7 seconds, I was elated. Like, yeah. And then after that, my heart dropped. Because I realized, you know what? Even though you catch the responsible party, it doesn't bring your cousin back. Right? And I was struggling, and my wife shared with me this word she got from another pastor. You know, this is not God's will. This is sin. Right? And because this world is sinful, oftentimes we deal with the results of this sinful world, right? And so we are dealing with it right now, dealing with, you know, the three kids who are left. Sin doesn't just affect one individual. It affects all those around, right? And we're going to talk more about this as a church. You know, we've talked about being well and wellness, but at some point in time, we're also going to talk about this because we don't talk about it enough, about violence in the home. Because it's real, right? And I'm going to say to you ladies, because for the most part, you have to deal with the negative side of it, right? Here we go. You ready? And someone going to criticize me for what I'm about to say. I'm about to say it anyway. At the first sign of it, grab your bag and go. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I don't know if y'all got it. Grab your bag and go. Amen? And brothers, we have to present ourselves as coverings, as protectors, to step in and to be that force to bring things back into alignment. So when my daughter was, one of my daughters was, I think, 18 or 17, and this boy made her cry. I forgot what it was. I forgot what it was. And then he came over to the house, and I was in the bed. Man, I jumped out of that bed so fast, and I went outside. I acted a fool. But I wanted him to understand something, right? So listen, fathers, if you have girls and they're about to get married, make sure you sit the young man aside and you let him. She spoiled. She ruined. I didn't ruin her, right? Right? I didn't did that, all right? It's going to be hard dealing with her, all right? And if you feel like you can't deal with her no more, just send her back. Don't touch it. Just send her back. I'll understand. Ain't going to be no questions asked. I ain't going to be mad at you. Just send her back home to Dad. Amen? Glory to God. You know, because if you're a good dad, you didn't ruin that daughter. You didn't ruin her. See, just, huh? But let the young man know, just send her back. So, again, I want to say thank you for praying for me. Again, they found the individual. It's still painful, but they found him. And we're praying that God's will be done. Amen? Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We did not get far into it last week, and we won't get that much farther into it this week, but turn with me anyway to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, this is more of an expository type of teaching where we're going to examine the different verses of the book and see how we can apply it to our lives. So 1 Peter chapter 1. You have it, say amen. You know, we went through verses 1 through 6 last week, and we're going to kind of get with 6 and 7 today. Peter was writing this to a number of churches, and Peter called them in the first verse, he called them strangers. Another word for strangers is pilgrims. And meaning, let me read here, it says that the pilgrims is one who lives as a temporary resident in a foreign land. All right? Pilgrims live in constant awareness of their true home. We understood that this home that we live in now, earth, is not our forever home. And we're just pilgrims passing through. But as we pass through, there are certain relationships that we make and are attached to and you know, we hold on to. But still, we are pilgrims and we're just passing through. We live on the finite side of eternity. There is an infinite side that we're looking, that we're all going to actually spend in eternity, right? But we want to spend that infinite side of eternity in heaven and not in hell. Amen? But we're just passing through. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and says, you know, in this you rejoice greatly, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. This distress is grieved by various trials. That we go through trials. You ever been through a trial? Are you going through a trial? And when you get out of that one, not too much farther down the road, you're going to be in another one. Amen? Your life is going to be full of trials, getting out the trials, another trial. Trials, getting out the trials, and another. That's the way it is. It doesn't end till you get to heaven. Right? Telling in, you know, Christians grieve when they go through certain trials. Even though God has a purpose for every trying moment, some of them cause pain. That's the reality of it. Listen, don't think that because you are saved, all right, that you are saved, that am I going out? Okay. All right, but give me that handheld mic then.
Just don't think just because you are saved, you're going to be insulated from trials and afflictions. Right?
being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed in the whole world. Without the test of fire, we are ignorant to the level of purity of our faith. Without the test of fire, we really don't know how pure our faith is. You see, fire tests the purity of an item, gold, and our faith. And without the test of fire, we are ignorant of the level of purity of our faith. These trials that we go through, listen, they're not for God's benefit. They're not for God's benefit. God already knows you. What is? You don't know you. You don't know you. You don't know you. You think you know you. You think you know what you would do in a certain situation. But when that situation arises, you realize, oh, I ain't as holy as I thought I was. Okay. You need to know where you stand, how pure your faith is. People who say they have faith in God but have never had to believe under difficulties quite often fool themselves. People who say they have faith in God, but that faith never been tested under difficult times, oftentimes fool themselves. Right? So sometimes you need something to test your faith, to purify that faith, so you can see where you really are. Because sometimes you think that you way up here, and you really not. Huh? God knows, but you need to know. If gold is tested by fire and our faith is more precious than gold, don't be surprised when your faith is tried in the fire. Don't be surprised. God will allow these different situations to arise to try your faith, to purify it. Now, what does it look like when your faith is being tried? Right here, I'm writing this. I wrote this. It says, oftentimes it looks like all your resources are unavailable. I'll say it again. What does it look like when your faith is being tried? Oftentimes it looks like all of your resources are unavailable. The prophet Elijah was drinking from a brook. And go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Yes. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 5. 1 Kings 17, verse 5. All right. Do you have it, 1 Kings 17? So he went and did in accordance. I'm reading from the Amplified. So he went and did in accordance with the word of the Lord. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now pay close attention to this phrase, and did according unto the word of the Lord. He did according to the word of the Lord. There are times when our faith is resting on our resources instead of our source. There are times when our faith is resting on our resources instead of our source. Verse 6 says this, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. He would drink from the brook. So who told him to go to the brook? All right, about half of you. Who told him to go to the brook? The Lord. Don't be scared. You got it right. It says it right there, right? All right. So God said, go to the brook, right? So he went to the brook, right? Had ravens bring him bread and meat every day, right? Now watch this. In verse 7, it says this of 1 Kings chapter 17. Who told him to go to the brook? The Lord. Okay. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Who told him to go to the brook? There are times when our faith is resting on our resources instead of our source. Listen to this. You can be right where God wants you to be and your brook dry up. You can be right in the place God told you to be. And your brook dry up. The resource God had set aside to provide for you. He says, go here. I'm going to provide for you through this resource. And then the brook dry up. All of us have a brook. It may not be called Cherith, all right? But we have a brook. We have something that we are depending on, right, to supply what our needs are. All right, but listen to this. It is a resource, not a source. Oftentimes, we become dependent. No, most times, we become dependent on the resource and forget about the source. And so, as we become dependent on the resource and forget about the source, this is what God will do. I'll read it again in verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up. You got good jobs. You got good homes. Sometimes we place our faith on the resource and not the source. And in order for you to get your focus back on the source, God will dry that resource up. Have you ever had your resource dried up? Watch this. The trying of your faith does not mean you're in sin. Sometimes you get all nervous. Well, why is it happening to me? I must be of sin. No, 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 no. Remember, your faith is being purified, right? You just in the fire, right? And so when God dries up a resource, all right, don't think, oh, I'm in sin. I've done something wrong. No, your faith is being purified. And God is saying, I'm doing something with you. I'm making you more valuable than gold. The trying of your faith does not mean you're in sin. You're just being purified. That's what it is. You're being purified. All right? God takes you to different levels of faith through the purifying process. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, just write that down. There's a phrase in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and that phrase is, in the King James Version, it says, the measure of faith, the measure of faith. The measure of faith. See, he wants you to use more and more of your faith. Each of us have been given the measure of faith. All right. Now, some of us use more of that measure than others, but we've been given the measure of faith. All right. And so how do I increase the amount of faith that I can use? It's through going through trials. And I learn more and more how to depend more and more on God by the situations he brings me through. I guarantee you, if you are a seasoned saint, you should be using more of the measure now than you did 10 years ago. All right? You should. God wants to get you to a different place. Okay, use more of your faith. Okay, you believed me for a bicycle. All right, now believe me for a car. Huh? You believe me for a car? Okay, now believe me for a home. Why? You believe me for a home? Now believe me for whatever, right? And so he moves. So he tries your faith, wants you to use more and more of your faith, all right? Through God's process, we use more and more of the measure of faith, because God challenges us with trying times to get us to rely more and more on him, because he is our source. Amen? The process continues to till we depend totally upon God and no one else. That's when our faith is purified. We depend totally on him and no one else. Now, verse 8 of chapter 17 says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, okay? So this is what the Lord said. Arise, go to Zarephath, okay, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. So I've dried up this brook here. Get up, go to Zarephath. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, your faith is being tried when your brook is dried up. What do you do? Here's what you do. You wait for instructions. Oftentimes, the instructions seem to make no sense. God says, do this, all right? To the outside, it looks like this doesn't make any sense at all for God to tell me to do this. He told the prophet here, leave there, go to Zarephath, all right, this pagan people. I've commanded this widow. Now understand this, in Bible times, worse than now, in Bible times, women were looked at like just, you know, second class, third class citizens. And then a woman who was a widow, the implication for this is she didn't have nothing. So God says, here's the instruction. Leave here. I've dried this up. Go here. I've called this woman who you, in your mind, you think she has nothing because she's a widow and she's a woman and she's going to provide for you. And in your mind, no, that ain't the Lord. I ain't going there. I ain't going. No. It's like God said, okay. I've dried up this. You ready for this? All right, go and work at Home Depot because I've got someone over there going to provide for you. I ain't working at Home Depot. Oftentimes, the instructions seem to make no sense at all. Why would he point me in that direction? And God is saying this, God is saying this. All right, do you trust me? I'm trying to do something in you. I'm trying to purify your faith. Remember, the whole goal is to rely totally on him. Not as our source, not relying on our resources. Right? Rely totally on him. So there are times when the destruction seems to make no sense. Does it make natural sense in a time of economic downturn to seek help from a widow? It makes no sense. But this is what God says. God says, do this, so we do that. It makes no sense. But God says, do this, and we do this. Our faith must be built and rest upon what thus saith the Lord, not what the circumstances are saying, neither on what others are saying. Our faith is built on what God says and not what others are saying. There's a pastor in Reading, Bill Johnson, pastors Bethel Church in Reading, and he was preaching, and I heard him say this, and I thought it was appropriate for our time here today, because Well, you'll get it. He said, our issue is not our inability to hear God. He says, because if you are born again, you've heard God's voice when he drew you to himself. Okay? That's not the issue. And remember, our faith must be built and rest upon what thus saith the Lord, not what circumstances are saying, neither on what others are saying. And Bill Johnson said, our issue is not our inability to hear God's voice. He said this. He said, here's our issue. It is our willingness to listen to other voices. The issue is not our inability to hear God's voice, all right? Our issue is our willingness to listen to other voices in society. You listen to the news long enough. You read certain comments on your social media page long enough, and those voices will then compete with God's voices. And one of those voices, you're going to follow their direction. Huh? The direction. It's not that we're not listening to God. Our issue is we listen too much to others. And so what God does then is, okay. Let me dry up some things. Let me remove some things. Remove you from situations. So those voices are not competing with my voice for your attention. Because my goal is to purify your faith. And while you are listening to a number of voices, they're competing with my voice. Now, if you've read in the Old Testament, you know that when God spoke to this same prophet Elijah, he didn't come with a thundering voice. He didn't come with loud voice. No. It was this still small voice. Right? And if we don't turn off the other voices vying for our attention, all right? Turn them off. We'll most likely follow in their direction. Things we put up with today, right, and say it's all right, we become immune to it, right, we didn't 30 years ago. There was no way in the world what comes on in TV today, if my mama was present, I'll talk to this side here. That TV been unplugged. Huh? And if my mama was present, I'd be somewhat feeling kind of funny if she heard what came on the TV that I would watch. Is anybody with me or by myself? And we know the voice of the Lord. Some other voices. Huh? And so God says, okay, I'm gonna purify you. And I'm going to take away some of those resources. So all that you will have is your source. Realize this, that's all we really need. Right? But we enjoy the pleasures of these resources, don't we? How many got one of those TVs on the wall? Anybody? Come raise your hand. Don't be you know you got it on the wall. I've said this a number of occasions. You ain't going back to those big old back TVs, huh? With all that, no, you right? We become accustomed to having it this way, right? If you're not careful, all these things will compete with God's voice. Amen? You're not going to like this, okay? Have you ever binged watch? Binge watch means you can watch half a season, the whole season on some. So, anybody? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Are you ready? In order to complete the reading of the Bible in 1 year, you need to read 4 to 5 chapters a day. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. 4 to 5 chapters a day will get you through the whole Bible in 1 year. Right? Right. Have you ever binged watched on the Bible? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. No. We have not. And it's not that we don't hear the voice of the Lord. It's not like we don't hear him say, "Can we spend time together?" It's not like we don't sense him wanting to be with us and speak. If the issue is not our inability to hear God's voice. The issue is our willingness to listen to other voices. But because God has made a promise to us, he said, the things I've started in you, I'm going to complete it. So what that means is this, I've got to dry up your brook of Cherith. I got to dry up your brook. Because if I don't dry it up, you won't move from that brook. And so God dries up that brook. Whatever your brook is, God dries it up. Here's what we do. The initial reaction of our brook drying up is, you know, we call someone. You got to pray. Well, yeah, but you should have been praying yourself a while back. Amen? But when your brook dry up, you want everybody to pray for you. Huh? Well, let the pastor know my brook done dried up. Okay, I'm going to get real right now, okay? Yeah, I'm going to get real. And my wife, I'll blame it on her. See, I don't take the hit. It would be nice for you to bring your prayer request to the prayer meeting that you can pray for others as well and not just send your prayer request in. You can't do this by proxy. Huh? You can't do it by proxy. Huh? No. You got to get in there and pray and fast and fast and pray and pray and fast. Fast and pray. You got to do that. Amen? And God will, because God's goal, he loves us. He's not mad at us. These trials, this trying of our faith, is not there to destroy us. All right? Get it out of your mind. Well, God's mad. God's not mad at you. God loves you. What God is trying to do is to purify your faith. So he allows you to go through different scenarios. So you will depend upon him and him only. And if he sees you leaning too much on your resource, God will dry it up. Because he wants you to depend wholly on him. Huh? Let's go back to 1 Peter. And then I got one more verse and we're going to let you go. 1 Peter. Where did I end at? Verse 7? I think verse 7. 1 Peter, verse 7. Yeah, verse 7. And so your faith is being purified. It's more valuable than gold. It's being tried by the fire, by a different situation. God removes resources in order for you to depend totally upon him being the source. All right? Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not even see him now, you believe and trust in him and greatly rejoice in and delight in the with inexpressible and glorious joy. You haven't seen him. Listen, we're not like the apostles. We haven't seen him, yet we trust him. Amen? And yet we love him, don't we? Yes, and so if this inexpressible, this joy that I cannot explain what I feel when I think about all that he has done for me and how he has always been by my side and has never left me, this I can't explain what it is. It's this joy and that I have for him. It's like women, how, and men as well, they used to pray in this moaning. They would pray. You really couldn't express it. It was just in the deepness of their soul. Hallelujah. A mother on her deathbed, dying of cancer, and sometimes we'd have some, most times have music playing in the room, and laying there and eyes shut, you know, and then we'd play. And she'd hear the name of Jesus in that song. And some of you are too young to understand what I mean by this phrase, a quickening. Some of you older folks understand what a quickening. Oh. And yet on her deathbed, hearing the name of Jesus, there was her spirit was alive. Amen. And she expressed her joy even on her deathbed. Huh? Hallelujah. She had learned how to rely on God as her source and not other things as her resource. She never learned to drive. Didn't drive. Daddy would take her everywhere. But she knew that God was her source. Huh? Yeah, she did. Had a hard life, huh? But never forgot about the Lord. Didn't graduate from high school this year, 22, because she was busy taking care of her mama, who was sick as a young girl. But loved the Lord. Had this inexpressible joy that she had, huh? Though she had went through different trials, you know. Living with my father, and I've told you, you know, he wasn't saved all his life. And so she had to deal with him and deal with three knucklehead boys. And I was the worst. Gave her a lot of trouble. But she understood that God was her source. Amen. Yeah, we never had anything fancy. In fact, she was too ashamed to have things fancy. My daddy came home with a Cadillac one day, and back in our neighborhood, if you had a Cadillac, man, you would have, woo, man. And she made such a fuss about that because it was like too showy. She made Daddy give it back. And him, you know, he was saved by that time. And so he gave it back. But she didn't want anything that drew attention to herself, right? She depended totally upon the Lord Jesus. Huh? She understood that he was her source. She wasn't worried about resources. She understood that God was her source. Huh? And I hope and pray that we will understand that God is our source. Don't be upset when we go through fiery trials. They're not set up to destroy us. They're there to purify us. There's something that God sees in us that says, you know what? He can be just a little bit more purified. Let me allow this to happen to get him closer to me. Amen? All right. And so don't get mad when the trials come. Don't get angry. Don't shake your fist at God. God is doing something, all right, to better you in the situation. If we believe what Romans 8:28 says, they think things are working for the good, then okay, God, I trust you. Even though we don't understand it, I trust the Lord. Amen? All right. And remember, he'll drive your brook, but he has something else planned for you. All right? And what he has planned for you oftentimes will look crazy to you and crazy to those who are around you, right? But if you hear the Lord's voice and other people around you will say to you, that's crazy, that's stupid, don't go to the woman of Zarephath, you've heard the God's voice, you go. Amen? If you heard the Lord's voice, you go. Even though it seems like it's crazy, go. Don't listen to all the other voices. Again, our issue is not our inability to hear God's voice. It is our willingness to listen to other voices. And sometimes, many times, those other voices come from ungodly people. Huh? You better stop listening to unsaved folks trying to tell you something. Huh? They're trying to tell you. They ain't married and trying to give you advice about your marriage. Shut up. Shut up. Try to give me some advice about marriage and you ain't married. How to raise my kid. You ain't got no kid. How you tell me? No. Listen to God's voice. Amen? Are the trials here to destroy you? No. To purify your faith. When your resource is dried up, God has another resource. Right? God is your source. He can cause water to come out of a rock, manna to come out of heaven, quail to fly over and just automatically drop on the ground. God can do that for you. Trust him. If he tells you to go do it, do it. He's purifying you. And at one point, you're going to come and look just like him. Amen? Stand to your feet, everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's not trying to destroy you. Just wanting to purify you. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, what do you mean by all this purifying and my faith? And I know you may not understand it, but let me share this with you. God had a plan to free you from the bondage of sin. And that plan was sending his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. And if you were to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for the atonement of your sins, confess your sins to your Father, repent, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, you'll be saved. And what that means is you'll spend eternity with him in heaven. And I know there are voices out there who are saying there are multiple ways to get to heaven. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And there are voices out there and say, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live that way. The Bible says in Peter, for us to be holy, for God is holy. Don't listen to the voices that are vying for your attention, but listen to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you. And this day, if you were to receive me, I'd save you. And I'd write your name down the last book of life, never to be removed. So if you're here today and you know that you're not saved. You believe the Bible. You believe in God. But you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to leave where you're standing and come meet me here at this altar. And we're going to pray and allow God to come into your life and be your Savior. Here today, if God is speaking to you today, if he's drawing you today, I'll give you a minute. God may be speaking to one of you.
Jesus Christ, his son.
I know the voices are saying you don't need to do, but I'm here to tell you do.
With a grateful heart, give thanks.
Jesus is the only way.
To the woman, give thanks, for he has given. Jesus Christ, his son.
Oh, Jesus.
And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for.
Listen, before I leave, if you want prayer, if you're going through this difficult time, it seems like your resources dried up and you're not sure what to do next, we want to pray. We want to pray. Sister Velma, why don't you come up and you're going to help me pray, your team. If you want prayer, you're not sure what to do next and it seems like things have dried up, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Wants prayer. Come on, we'll pray for you. So you're going to Washington? So you're going to a plane as well? So both of y'all going to a plane. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you for these ladies who are traveling. God, you'll have to go with them. If you don't keep them, they cannot be kept. So I pray that you give them a special grace, a special peace, that their mind would rest in you, knowing that you're in full control. It is not the pilots. It is you that controls every flight. And so get these two sisters, oh God, to their destination safely. Let them enjoy themselves and bring them back home. And so, God, we thank you in advance for traveling mercies for them. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else want prayer before we leave here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, Cole, won't you come up? Give us a closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that Pastor said. Thank you in advance for the brook that you're going to dry up, Lord. We thank you in advance for the resource that you're going to take away from us so that we can focus on the source, Lord, and that's you, Lord. I pray that we get home safely. Pray for traveling mercies until we meet again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.